today. To Romans chapter 8, we're continuing our series that we're doing called Spirit, Soul, and Body. We've been talking about the spirit of man. We found out that the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. We did a live illustration last week where we turned the lights out. Because the Bible talks about that when a man is in sin, that his spirit is in darkness. And it's very difficult to navigate in the dark. If you were blind, and you know, and the Bible calls spiritual death, it calls it blindness. You cannot live a life in the light if you're blind. You cannot navigate in this life if your spirit is full of darkness. So that's why we had to teach on the spirit first, the spirit of man. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. You're not a body. There's more to you than your body. Your body is the least part of you. It's important because if you don't have a body, you can't stay here. You have to go somewhere else. You can't stay in the earth without a body. But it's the least important part. The most important part is the spirit. The second one is the soul. We found out last week that man was created by God. He created his body first. The Bible says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that was his spirit. And man became a living soul. The intersection of the breath and the dust created what is called the soul of man. But we did first things first because the spirit is the first thing that we have to deal with. Because when man fell in the Garden of Eden, his spirit man was thrust into darkness. We call it death. Death does not mean cease to exist. It just has to do with being separated. And when a man is separated from God, his life is in darkness. In fact, the Bible tells us that the whole world is in the grip of darkness. People who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are in darkness. The Bible uses terminology like they are in their sin. They are separated from God. They are in darkness. They are blinded. In fact, 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those. They're blind. They can't see. You can't expect a sinner, a lost person, to be righteous. You can't expect them to do the right thing. That's why we're not supposed to judge them. Their only hope is to find the light. As Hank Williams sang in his song, "Praise the Lord, I saw the light." And until we come to the light, we can't do anything different. And when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, what is it that's born again? It's our spirit. It's not your body. It's not your soul. It's your spirit that's born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. Something miraculous happens when you get saved. Something happens in your spirit. You go from darkness to light. We read in Psalms last week where it says, "The Lord will lighten my candle." And it's the spirit of man that's the candle of the Lord. And you can't be what you're supposed to be until you're in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's bottom line. But you know, there's more to us than just the spirit part. With the spirit, we're conscious of God. With the body, we're conscious of the world around us. With the soul, we're conscious of ourselves. What happens that messes us up is if we start living by something besides our spirit. If you live in the flesh, and we're going to use that word flesh. Flesh is part of the soul, but it's connected to the body. In fact, what the soul does, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the soul is it touches the body and it touches the spirit. The spirit doesn't touch the body. The soul is the intermediary between the two. Now, what is the soul? The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. We found out last week that the Spirit's function is, first of all, it is your conscience. What is it that gives us a conscience? It's our spirit being right with God. I believe that as a Christian, that when you do wrong, immediately you know it on the inside of you. Why? Because your spirit's alive unto God. In fact, God says, I'll write their laws in my heart, in their heart. God writes His laws in our heart when we get born again. And you immediately know when you do something wrong. Why? Because your spirit lets you know. Now, it doesn't make you do right. Just because your spirit's right, your spirit does not force you to do right. It just lets you know that something's wrong. So one of the things that the Spirit does for us, it provides us our conscience. The other thing that it does, that it provides us with a way to fellowship with God. God is a Spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You've never touched God with your body. You've never understood God with your mind. You've never understood God with your emotions. It's with your spirit. So it has to do with fellowship. And then the third thing that it has to do with is intuition. The Spirit, our spirit in communion with the Holy Spirit, gives us insight into life. In fact, the Holy Spirit guides us through our spirit. Okay? So if our spirit cannot be right with God, then we can't be guided. We wouldn't have any of those things. So when we become new creatures, the nature of sin is taken out of our spirit, and we are made right with God. We have a new spirit. We become a new creature, a new creation, something that never before existed. But now we need to deal with the soul. And two things that we're going to kind of talk about today is the soul and what is called the flesh. The Bible tells us that if we live in the flesh... Now, the flesh is what is the connection with the soul to the body through the five physical senses. If I see a good-looking girl, I recognize that. It feeds the information into my soul. It could cause a chemical reaction on the inside of me. It could cause an attraction. And if I let that go, I could get into trouble. It is the soul's job to make sure that that don't happen. My spirit will say to me, that's a no-no. My flesh says, that's a yes-yes. But your soul says, your spirit says, that's a no-no. Your flesh says, that's a yes-yes. And there's something in there that has to choose which way you're going to go. It's not your spirit, it's not your flesh, it's your will. And this is what makes us a whole lot... This is one of the things that makes us different than animals, is that we have a will. We can make a rational choice based on information, either from the spirit or from the flesh, about how we conduct our lives. See, your spirit and soul is the compass of your life. Your spirit and your soul is the compass of your life. They work together. Or they can work in conflict with each other, depending on whether you're living by the flesh or if you're trying to live by the Spirit. So this is why we're going to look at Romans 8:1 today. Now, there's a lot of ways that we can go with this. There's no way that I can exhaust all of this, but I'm just going to give you a basic teaching and understanding about this. And I want you to get into your Bibles and begin to dig. Not only do I want to you digging in your Bibles, I want you digging in your own hearts. Amen. To see where you are. When you get in the flesh, you need to recognize it. And you need to do something about it. You don't need to be controlled by the flesh at all. Now we said the soul gives us God consciousness. The spirit gives us God consciousness. The body gives us world consciousness. The soul gives us self consciousness. Where does selfishness come from? Does it come from the spirit? No, it comes from the soul. When I become the most important person in my life, everything's about me. Okay? Remember the sermon I did one time about selfishness and we sang the songs? I exalt me. You know, remember that one? And there's a lot of people that their whole life is about them. Everything revolves around them. It's me and it's I, and I've done this and I've done that and I'm wonderful. Praise me while I sing. Praise me while I preach. Praise me while I impress you with my aura and my splendor. Have you ever been around people like that? And all they talk about is themselves. You don't like being around those kind of people. Unless it's you and you're talking about yourself. But you're the only one that's impressed. That's called selfishness, and that's a very soulish person. And then you have people who live by the flesh. And their whole thing is, if I see it and I like it and I want it, I'm going to get it and I'm going to indulge. That'll get you in big time trouble. That'll get you in all kinds of trouble. Now, Romans 8:1 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And a lot of people quit right there. I'm saved and there's no condemnation and it doesn't matter how I live because there's no condemnation. Is that what the Bible teaches?
No.
You know what the biggest problem with the Christian movement is of its spreading? It's Christians. See, it gets quiet when you get real. I could be religious and say, oh, you're so wonderful. You're so perfect. No, we're really not. The biggest deterrent to Christianity is Christians. And what they say they are and what they actually do. Now, you may be a Christian. You may be genuinely saved. But is your life something that's attracting other people to follow Christ, or is it repelling people to go away from Christ? This is where the dilemma of spirit, soul, and body comes in. Because we need to be a light. We don't need to say light and be darkness. We need to be a light. And I'll be honest with you, there's none of us that are perfect. We're not teaching perfection at all. Because, you know, if there's any church that's not perfect, this one is chief. This one is chief. So are you slamming us, Pastor? No, I'm just telling you. See, here's the whole thing. There are some churches that don't want divorced people in them. There are some people that don't want people who have problems in their church. They're too much of a distraction. They don't want drug addicts in their church. They don't want people. They just want good people in their church. Well, what's that? They want them sanctified. They want them sainted. But we just kind of say, we don't care where you've been, what you've done. What's important is who you are now and where you're going. It's not where you've been, it's where you're going that counts. That's what we're interested in. So we have a whole lot of people in this church, all of us, that are in the process. There's none of us that think that we've arrived because we haven't. But we're on the journey. But I don't want to be a hindrance to anyone coming to Christ because of my lifestyle. That I'm self-centered and self-serving and self-seeking. Or that I'm so much in the flesh that, you know, that I'm a hypocrite. What's in here is what we want to come out and be reflected to the world. See, Jesus said, you know what? I'm the light of the world. But He told His disciples that they were the light of the world. Sorry if I drink in church. I'm a little dry today. This is water, for those of you that hear this. back to our scripture. You have to assume all things. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And this is what this is talking about, is spirit, soul, and body. This is why it's so important that we understand this concept of who we are. Spirit, soul, and body. You're three in one and one in three. You can get in the flesh. In fact, how many of you have gotten in the flesh since you've been saved? Now the rest of you lying are not participating. I'm going to choose that you're not participating. Surely. I remember when I was a kid, my mom worked with a lady, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but she would tell her and said that she's perfect, she doesn't sin. I thought to myself, we all miss it. We all fall short. But what happens when we fall short? We need to fess up. We need to be willing to apologize. We need to be willing to make amends. We need to be willing to get that out of our lives. There's one thing about making mistakes. There's another thing about just living constantly a lifestyle that is wrong. Because the Bible does say that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And even when we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we still fall short. But there's one great thing about the grace of God. The grace of God makes a difference from where we are to where Jesus is. Because Jesus is our goal. The life of Christ is our example. That is the thing that we're striving to be. It's like Jesus. You think we got a long way to go? In fact, I don't know that we're going to get there from here. We may get there after we get there, but we need to be striving to be like Jesus in our lives, in our spirit, in our personalities, in our whole area of life. We need to be like Him. We need to be a reflection of Him. Okay, let's read on. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. See, we could not get to where we needed to be from where we were, because we had a nature of sin. We couldn't get there from here. We couldn't please God. We couldn't do what it would take to make up the difference in the gap. That's why this is the beauty of the gospel. And folks, don't let anybody ever tell you anything else than that the gospel is about Jesus Christ. It's not about God, generic God. It is about Jesus Christ and what He did. That is the gospel. The truth of the gospel is you can't get there from here. And the truth of it is that God sent the Son to be the bridge over troubled water. He sent the Son to be the bridge that gets us from here to there. It's what He did, not what we've done. If you talk to people that are lost, they'll tell you, you know what? I live a pretty good life. Let me tell you where a pretty good life will get you. It's called H-E-L-L. We don't want to say the H word in church, do we? Hell. We don't want to say hell in church, do we? Good life will get you in hell. Going to church will get you in hell. Doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you will get you into hell if that's what you trust for your salvation. We have to trust Jesus. We have to trust what He did. That is the good news of the gospel. That's it in a nutshell. Then we're trying to learn to let the light that's in us out. And this is a process. And with some of us, it's more of a process than it is with others. Because a lot of us have been goofed up real bad, Jason. I can pick on Jason. That's what I love about, you know, I love to see people that have been down and out and now they're up and in. And they're all the way. It's when we're indifferent about our relationship with God. And it's when we're, oh yeah, I'm saved. Leave me alone, I'm saved. No, I like to see people that love Jesus. They're in love with Jesus Christ. Because without Him, they would be a mess. I'd be a mess without Him. I really would. And I didn't do drugs. I did other stuff. You know, drugs is not the only thing to kill you. Alcohol is not the only thing that'll kill you. Adultery is not the only thing that'll kill you. There's things like judgmentalism and unforgiveness. That'll kill you just as dead as drug addiction will. It will. It'll rob you of your vitality in your life. We're wanting to teach you how to live life to the fullness and the abundance. Okay, let me get back into this. I want to explode in several different directions. But God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. If you're all about pornography, that's what you think about all the time. If you're all about drink or drug, that's what you think about all the time. If you're all about just being a success outside of God, that's what consumes your life. That's flesh. You set your minds on the things of the flesh. Now, we're going to read a scripture in a minute that talks about that. Let me move on. But according... found my place here. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit. They're led by the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, and the word carnal means flesh ruled. To be ruled by the flesh. What you can see, what you can hear, what you can taste, what you can touch, what you can feel. If that rules your life, it'll kill you. You'll see somebody talking to somebody else and you'll think they're talking about you. That's the flesh. I just know they're talking about me. They're gossiping about me. So we don't think about that being flesh. That's flesh. We call it discernment, and all that it is flesh. Okay. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The fruit of a spiritually controlled life is called Zoe, life, life like God has it, and peace. Thank God we can walk in peace. Man, it's a good thing to live in peace and life. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, you don't always want to get up and come to church. When the Spirit prompts you to do something, you don't always want to do it. When the Spirit says, Christy, go witness to so-and-so, sometimes Christy don't want to do that because what will they think of me? Me? Since when are you what it's all about? It's all about that person's relationship with God. But when we make it about me, I couldn't do that. What would they think about me? Am I not being carnal? Am I not being soulish? Am I not being selfish? What does that do? That kills. God wants to use you. God wants to use you to reach other people. And listen, when you get a prompting to do something that you wasn't even thinking about, let me tell you, lightning fast mind something. That's your spirit talking to you. That's your spirit in communion with the Holy Spirit talking to you, and you need to act on that. If He says, Ricky, give Pastor $1,000. No, I'm kidding. But if He does, if He says, pick up the phone and check on so-and-so, you ought to do it right then. Go tell so-and-so that I love them. Well, Lord, they know that. There's a reason He said do that. And we're going to live after the Spirit. We need to act on that, because that's life. And that'll lead to peace. But when we say, I'll do that if I got time. That's selfishness. Well, what would they think of me? No, you're not. It's not about you. It's about that person's relationship with God. Okay. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're living and walking in the flesh, you may be a Christian, you cannot please God. You're not called to walk in the flesh. You're called to walk in the Spirit. You know, a lot of people think when they talk about walking in the Spirit, they're thinking something like in the twilight zone. No. It just means be led by your spirit that's in communion with the Holy Spirit. Okay, go with me, to Romans 12. This is a wonderful scripture. One that most of us just read and take for granted. But this is a scripture you ought to just take apart and dissect and meditate on. There's a lot of good stuff in this scripture. This is Paul talking to the believers at Rome. He says, I beseech you, verse 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, I'm glad he put mercy in there. A lot of people think that they're God's mad at them and they're supposed to do stuff because God's mad at them and He's going to get them if they don't do it. That's not the tone of this verse of Scripture. The tone of this verse of Scripture is by the mercy and the goodness of God. He said, I'm beseeching you by God's mercy. See, God wants to extend mercy to you so that He can extend mercy through you. And that's what this is all about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Heard a guy say one time, you know what? We need to be willing to die for Jesus. He'd rather for you live for Him. Jesus had rather for you to live for Him than to die for Him. And there's people who are called to die for the cause of the gospel. But a lot of people would die for Him, but they won't live for Him. Well, He wants us to give our bodies to Him. I've heard people say, you know, this is my body and I'll do with it what I want to. You can do that. That's not what God wants. He wants to use your body. The legal expression in this earth has to come through a human body. Angels do not preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit does not preach the gospel. God does not use angels in this physical earth to do things. I know angels do things, okay? But I'm talking about the work of the ministry. Okay? The angels assist those who are doing the work of the ministry. The angels do not do the work of the ministry. God needs physical bodies to do that. Sometimes we need skin on skin, don't we? Sometimes we need eyeball to eyeball, skin on skin, touch to touch. We need that. We need voice to ear. We need that. And God has chosen to use people, but He has to have yielded bodies. Thank you. That's not enough time. Okay, I've got the high sign here. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is the minimal, reasonable thing that you ought to do. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be available to Him. That's just reasonable. That's not beyond the ordinary. Then it says, do not be conformed to this world. And that don't mean this earth, it means this age. This cosmos, this world system. Don't be conformed to this world system. We don't need to think like they do. We don't need to act like they do. Now, this is a whole lot bigger than the way that you dress and all that kind of stuff. This has to do with the way that you do life. Your compass is on the inside of you. And He's saying, don't let this out here be your compass. Let this in here be your compass. Okay? Too many times we look out here and we imitate what's going on out here. That's a human thing that we have that can be destructive. Everybody's doing it. Has your kids ever said that to you? Well, you know, Mom, everybody's doing it. Everybody has a car. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's having sex. Everybody's doing this. Why shouldn't I? Because we're not supposed to be conformed to what's out here. And the only way that that can happen is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not your spirit. When you got born again, your spirit was made right. The problem that Christians have is they have stinking thinking. You can be right in your heart and wrong in your head. You can't do much about your spirit other than make Jesus Lord, and He does that work. Your work has to do with what you do with the way that you think. Remember, the soul is three parts: mind, will, and emotions. The way that we think, the way that we feel, and the way that we choose has to do with the soul. The spirit does not choose. The soul chooses. The will chooses. Therefore, if we're going to be able to make the right kind of decisions, we need to be able to listen to the intuition that comes from the spiritual realm and not be motivated by what we see out here. You can do a good thing, and it can be the wrong thing. I said last week, I sent this out in my quote and got slapped around for it. Not really. The greatest enemy to good, or to great, is good. The greatest enemy to great is good. You can do a good thing, but it not be the right thing. When God wants you to do the great thing. Because that's where He gets involved. We can be good and be mediocre. Or we can go beyond good to the greatness that God has for us. But that doesn't come from out here. That comes from in here. That comes from a vision that God puts in our spirit. As a church, as individuals. See, I've had people come up to me and say, "Pastor, what do I need to do with my life? What do I need to do?" I can't see in your spirit. I don't know that. That's supposed to come out of you. And what you're telling me is probably you haven't spent any time renewing your mind and listening to your spirit so that you can know that. This takes the renewing of our thinking processes. Because when you come to Christ, your thinking is all screwed up. It really is. And unless you do something with the way that you think, it's going to stay screwed up. You can't come to church and get straightened out. This is not a discipleship group right here. We cannot disciple you in this large a group. It has to take... You have to take responsibility for your own growth. I can point you to the green grass. I can point you to the water, but I can't make you eat and drink.
That's right.
You got to eat and drink on your own. Now, we provide groups and life groups that we can disciple in, and we can give you the right direction to go, but you've got to do something with it. You've got to change the way that you think. And there's only one way to do that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, your job is to prove the will of God in your life. How do we understand the will of God? It is the Word of God. How do you change the way that you think? You're going to have something that's outside this world. I'm glad that God dropped this into the world, aren't you? That's God's Word. She said, "He desecrated the holy writ." No, I didn't. That's a book. God dropped this Bible into the world. He gave it as a gift. into this world. It started with Jesus being made flesh. And it come out of that. And we have this holy Bible that's full of the way that God thinks. And that's what we need to learn how to do, is think the way that God thinks. It says in the Old Testament, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." That's what God said to us. You don't think like me. You don't act like me. I'm giving you a gift so that you can learn to think like me and act like me. And most of us have one of those on our coffee table, and it gathers dust, and we get it out when we get in trouble. That's not renewing your mind. That's desperation. It needs to be a way of life with us. The Word changing. It's going to take your whole life to change the way that you think. You're pretty goofed up. You're just pretty goofed up in your thinking. Satan has done a good job of deceiving humanity. We don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't know the potential that we have in the things of God. But it's revealed in that book. And if you're going to do great things, you're going to have to get that book into your heart. And it's going to change the way that you think. And as you begin to change the way that you think, you're going to talk different. You're going to act different. What you hear is what you see. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you become. Did you get that? What you hear is what you see. When you hear the Word of God, you get a picture. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. You begin to speak it. What you say is what you do. Well, I believe I'll get up and go to church. You know, I believe I'll go eat when we dismiss here in about 5 minutes. We usually say what we're going to do, don't we? What you see is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you become. That's the transformation. It's not just hearing the Word. It's doing the Word. It's proving the Word in your life. God called me to be a pastor. When God called me to be a pastor, I couldn't even speak. I couldn't talk. I was bashful. I had an inferiority complex. The preacher told me one time, he pointed at me and said, "Boy, the call to preach is all over you." I just tears. Wayne Edwards said that to me. Tears just come down my cheeks because I knew I couldn't do it. I do it now and don't even think about it. I don't get nervous about this. But I had to change the way that I thought. I had to get out of my own selfishness. Well, what are people going to say? What if you stutter? I stutter all the time. You just laugh at yourself and you go on. One thing about it, you got to learn in ministry, or in life, you need to be able to laugh at yourself. Because everybody else is going to laugh at you. You might as well laugh at yourself. Lead the way. I'm the president of my comedy club. You know, I'm going to give you lots of laughs. Okay? But I had to renew my mind to that. And it was a process that took time. I am today because of the Word of God in my life that's changed the way that I thought. I have proved the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that's what we're supposed to be. I'm in the process of still doing that in my life. I haven't arrived. I know I look perfect, but I'm not. I'm just not there yet, and I better quit because I'm about in trouble. We'll pick this up, not next week because of the play, but the next week. How do we end this service? I've given you a lot to think about. Let's end it this way. We could pray and be spiritual or religious, but I want to encourage you today as we dismiss the service. We got to do something with what we hear. We got to do something with what we hear. How many of us here are living beneath our potential? I am. Then I need to do something about it. I need to be willing to make some changes. And the way to change is in that book that I dropped on the floor. I got to change the way that I think. I've got to change my soul. If I'm going to be able to make the right choices, I got to know what the right choices are. And you can't go get counsel and get that. You have to get that through the book. That book will give you the light that you need to make the right choices. It'll lead you to the right person to marry. It'll lead you to the right career. It'll lead you in the right way that you need to go. There's that stuttering thing again. The right way that you need to go. It'll help you with every choice that you need to make in this life. Amen. Your spirit is given to you as a compass. But you're going to have to put the Word of God on the inside of you. You got to give it something to work with. Well, you know, if God wants me to have it, that's bunk. Well, you know, if the Lord wants us to have it, He'll give it to us. That is bunk. That's religious hobbledygook. That's all that is. God gave us the Bible. That's His will. Dig in it. Find it. There's life in there. There's life in you. It will connect. It'll give you light. Your spirit will come alive. You'll see the thing that you need to do. And then you can choose it. And you can do the will of God. You can be what you're supposed to be. There's greatness out here. There's greatness in this church. And we need to discover it for God's glory. Amen. Stand. Wow. What's the announcement I'm supposed to make? Oh, we need help cleaning off the stage. Also, need to see Carrie Jones about decorating the foyer in the front. Where are you going to be? Oh, yeah, and go back over here and buy all this stuff that we didn't sell yesterday. Back there in the fellowship hall. Go get your kids. Have a blessed week. Invite people to the play. You come. Let's see what we can do great this next week in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. You're dismissed.